Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. We'll reset the recruiting landscape for basketball and football on this week's Golden Black Radio podcast. I'm Kyle Charters, Brian Neuber here. We'll talk to Tom Dienhart in a couple of moments. With him, we'll hit on Jeff Brohm's contract after the third-year coach inked a new deal last week. But let's start off with a little bit of recruiting, Brian. It's sort of that time of year when it comes into focus for both basketball and football. Let's start out with a little bit of basketball. The Boilermakers with a couple of scholarships that they could offer this spring. It seems as though an immediately eligible graduate transfer might be a possibility, perhaps at the guard spot for Purdue, considering Carson Edwards leaves to go to the NBA. You think that's pretty likely that is where Matt Painter uses at least one of these scholarships he has available?
Yeah, I think that, Purdue just had a pretty good player come and go that they could have had in Jake LaRavia, I think, from Indianapolis, who committed to Indiana State on his official visit there this weekend. I know Purdue would have had real advantages there. I know from my own eyes and from the opinions of other people who I respect, he's a guy who's definitely good enough to play at Purdue. I think Purdue probably might even feel that way. And under normal circumstances would have offered him a scholarship and brought him in for next season. But I think the fact that they kind of didn't act particularly quickly there in terms of moving on him tells me that they're not all that into going after four-year guys who don't immediately help you win next year. I think the preference, The ideal scenario is to get maybe not one, but even more than one, one-year graduate transfers and then keep your 2020 class intact at three scholarships right now. Now, Matt Painter's MO in recruiting has always been do what you have to do to give yourself the best chance to win right now and then figure it out later. But I do think the 2020 class is one Purdue is pretty well positioned with. Whether Purdue thinks that way or not, I don't know. But the early official visits have given you an opportunity at least to separate fact from fiction in terms of who's legitimately interested, where you might stand with those players, et cetera. I do think if there's ever a year Purdue wants to protect its scholarships for the following year's recruiting class, this might be it. And I think that speaks to them now wanting to add at least one or two graduate transfers. That's not all that unlike every year. Graduate transfers are like found money. If you have an open scholarship, and there's a guy out there that can help you, you take that player. There's no overhead involved in it, at least for the time being until they change the rule. But I think this year, especially with the scholarship cushion they have right now, with the needs they have right away, I think this is the year where you absolutely positively want, perhaps not want, but need graduate transfers. And then you want to protect that class for three multi-year guys in 2020 the best you can.
It seems to me like you can make a pretty good sell toward a pretty high-profile graduate transfer by saying, look, Carson Edwards is no longer here. This is the position we need to fill. There are shots available on the perimeter to you. This is what we were able to do with Edwards. Now, you're not going to find a player of that caliber most likely, but you can sell the idea that he can come in and make a big impact. It seems like that's an avenue that Purdue could do pretty easily, but it's a sell that they could make pretty easily.
Conventional logic says Purdue should be in a great place to land one of these players for sure. Minutes and shots wholesale are available. Purdue has probably never been cooler in recruiting than it's been right now after the NCAA tournament run. That being said, graduate transfer recruiting is a tricky business. The graduate transfer is the big screen TV the day after Thanksgiving at Walmart. I mean, they are people flip out over them, and they get over recruited so bad because there's no overhead. Like I said before, if you have an open scholarship, why not take them? What that leads to is the typical spring effect where coaches recruit players that they don't necessarily need just because, and they have very little investment at times in them. They have very little stake in their success. And that's maybe kind of what separates from Purdue a little bit from the field, is Purdue's only going to recruit guys it really wants, it really needs. Matt Painter, you know, for better and worse, has always been a team builder and a guy who puts team chemistry at the forefront and really only recruits guys that he knows he wants and knows he needs, at the expense sometimes of his numbers, of his team's depth, of his team's options.
Yeah.
But what that does is that puts Purdue in situations recruiting players it really wants against 30 other schools who are just recruiting a player just to fill a scholarship, just to fill a spot on the bench, just to fill a uniform. Maybe that player can help everybody. You don't know, but there are coaches recruiting them just because they're a freebie, basically. They're better than not having a player in that scholarship. So that really kind of muddies the waters, kind of makes it hard for Purdue to stand out with its more substantive sort of message than everybody else, if that makes any sense. It's just a really complicated recruiting market. And one, Purdue is obviously going to be very active in this year. But Purdue should have more ammo with these guys than it ever has before, because it's at the forefront of people's minds because of what they were able to do in the NCAA tournament, because of the way they played, because of the way Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein sort of turned the NCAA tournament into their own personal stage.
Christian Keeling tweeted over the weekend that he's down to 5, including Purdue. Do you know anything about him and if he might fit into Purdue's plans?
I don't know anything about him. I do know he obviously has a very good list. I do know that as soon as I got onto this phone call, I got a text message, and the first words were Christian Keeling. So perhaps that is some information of some kind. I wasn't able to read the text message. I'm doubting it's anything significant. But Purdue is going to recruit every available graduate transfer it can find. Purdue is going to target the ones it really likes, the ones that it really fits. That's not unlike every offseason. That's been the case for the last 5-6 years probably. But I would imagine if Christian Keeling legitimately has all those schools that he put on his edit last night, then he's pretty good. And Purdue just played in Charleston a couple months ago. Perhaps they got some notoriety down there. I don't know. But as we said before, Purdue has a lot of minutes and a lot of shots and a lot of prominence in their offense on their team to sell the graduate transfer. So they should be able to make a pretty compelling case to just about anybody out there.
You mentioned Purdue wanting to keep its 3 scholarships available for 2020. Is that a pretty good, pretty deep class from what you have seen? And who are some of the guys that, Purdue might be targeting here early?
Yeah. It's pretty deep when you consider that Purdue may only need 2 or 3 guys, most likely 3. Purdue's on a pretty good number of guards and wings, some really, really good ones. Obviously, Purdue doesn't necessarily need a center in this class, but I think they're in a pretty good spot early with one of the best in the country in Hunter Dickinson from Maryland. Obviously, getting him is going to be difficult, but I think they've done everything they can to this point. Have put themselves in a pretty good position. I think he's a kid who understands or has people around him who are advocating for Purdue in the sense that, Purdue still is that school, regardless of how guard-oriented they were this year. There's still a pretty significant body of work in terms of getting good big guys and making them get better by using them and by featuring them. And I think that has really resonated with Hunter Dickinson, who's a borderline 5-star player. I think he's one of the big names in more ways than one on the list. I think, there's a lot of guards, Kerwin Walton in Minneapolis, Jaden Ivey from Mishawaka, Trey Galloway from Marion, among many others. I don't want to forget somebody important, but I will. I think, Purdue's in a good spot with all those guys. Ethan Morton from Pennsylvania, I think, will be really difficult. He's a national recruit who's probably going to be able to go anywhere he wants. Ben Carlson, the forward from up in Minneapolis, a little bit the same way, a guy who's a really good player, but also a great student. And I think that's going to open up, the entire landscape to him, as well as Ethan Morton. I think those guys might be difficult. But in terms of Jaden Ivey, Kerwin Walton, the shooting guard types, I think Purdue's pretty well situated with those guys. And you still have the whole spring and summer to go find other guys too. So this is just what this is just where things stand today. Purdue's had six kids come in for official visits. All of them, I think five of the six are in the Rivals 250 on Rivals.com. The only other one who isn't is Jaden Ivey, and I think his recruiting speaks for itself, and he's now playing on the EYBL this spring and summer. So here's guessing he gets 10 more offers in the next couple months. So I think that Purdue is pretty well positioned with a lot of really good players in that class, and it's just a matter of getting them. That's the hard part, obviously. You know, Purdue's been in this position before, where they've been in early on a lot of great players and perhaps didn't get the guys they wanted initially, and then ended up with Matt Harms, who's going to be a pro, Aaron Wheeler, who's going to be really good. Nojel Eastern, who helped you win a Big Ten title, and you know, so on and so forth in that 2017 class. Things work out for Purdue. What things look like early might not always be what they're going to look like in the long run, and I think that's always something that should be kept in mind. But Purdue is in really good shape with a lot of these early targets, so we'll see where things go in the spring and summer.
Let's turn our attention to football before we bring in Tom Dienhart and talk a little bit about Jeff Brohm's new contract. So football recruiting, three commitments already. It seems like this will be a little bit smaller class, though Purdue has pretty much maxed out its first two classes with Jeff Brohm. Do you expect the calendar to be somewhat the same as what it was the last couple of years, with a slew of these guys committing around the camp season? Or could it be that they trickle in a little bit more, because it does seem like Purdue has had some official visitors here, or more official visitors in the spring? At least that's what it seems to me. Maybe that's not quite reality. But I've had some more, you know, official visitors this spring, including the defensive end over the weekend. Is there a chance it's a little different type of calendar this year for football recruiting?
Well, the official visitor this weekend was the first official visitor. Everybody who came through for spring practice was unofficial. This was the earliest official visit they've had. This is the earliest official you can have now, because the calendar basically just starts. Last year they brought in all their official visitors, all their summer official visitors in June, and I would anticipate being the case again, I'd imagine they'll have two weekends in June where they'll bring in probably 30 visitors and probably end up with 20 commitments again going into the season like they did before. I think that's kind of the new normal in all this. I think the majority of kids nowadays are going to commit early, and so thus the majority of schools are going to bring in all their official visits early. And what's going to happen is December and January are going to be more about the really high-end dudes. And just kind of finishing things off a little bit. So I would imagine not just this year, but every year from here on out, it's going to be like last year, where Purdue's going to host a couple of dozen official visitors in June and probably get the majority of their class then, and then just kind of hold on to them through the season. And Purdue's done an extraordinary job holding on to its commitments. So that's really not as dicey a situation as some of us might have thought. That would be the peril of this whole system for a place like Purdue. It hasn't been. It's been a strength, which speaks to the remarkable job, really, they have done transforming this recruiting operation here from what it was before. I know that's not even a fair comparison anymore, but that's the reality. But to answer your question, yes, they will have. They have already had one official visitor in, Greg Hudgens, the four-star defensive end this weekend, and they will have a couple of dozen more in June, I'm sure.
Yeah. And more on Hutchins at the website at goldandblack.com. All right. Hey, thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
No problem, Gal.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Tom Dienhart, talk a little bit about Jeff Brohm's new contract. We'll do that here in just a moment on Gold and Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
Spring is here and the local housing market is heating up. If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com. Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics. And Kyle here, joined by Tom Deanhart. We'll talk a little bit of football in particular. Jeff Brohm's new contract inked, well, at least announced. Has he put pen to paper? I'm not sure if that ever really happens these days, at least not in a timely fashion, it doesn't seem like. But Jeff Brohm gets a big raise, Tom, announced by the Board of Trustees on Friday. Purdue now has the third highest paid coach in all of the Big Ten. It wasn't that long ago, Tom, that would have been a crazy thing to say.
I know, exactly right. Quite a change in philosophy and direction for the university as a whole pertaining to athletics, Kyle, of course, beginning with football. And, you know, everything trickles down from the top of any organization. If the people at the top don't want it to happen, it's not going to happen. It's going to tie the hands of everybody else below them. So obviously, Mitch Daniels, the Board of Trustees, the people at the top of Purdue have made this a priority. And again, we saw this manifest itself initially, Kyle, way back in, 2016, when they approved money and started building the $65 million football performance complex. And then subsequently the hiring of Mike Bobenski. He brought in Jeff Brohm, and away we go. We've seen Purdue's efforts rewarded quickly here, Kyle, more quickly than anybody anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, you start with that facility, the football complex, to, you know, Jeff Brohm's contract initially, to the raise last year, to the raise this year, and then, you know, add in that Purdue will do something, though it's yet to be determined exactly what that something is, at Ross-Ade Stadium in terms of a massive renovation, and Purdue certainly taking the steps necessary to be able to compete more consistently in the Big Ten.
No doubt. Again, a 7-year contract, $36.8 million, Kyle. He's going to average over $5 million per year. You know, off the top, you reference Brohm now sitting number 3 in the Big Ten in salary. Jim Harbaugh, number 1, he's going to make $7.5 million next year. James Franklin got a bump. He's 5.65, and then there's Brohm at 5.3 million, making more than luminaries like Kirk Ferentz, Mark D'Antonio, and Paul Chryst, among others. Even Pat Fitzgerald doesn't even make $4 million a year yet. Plus, Brohm's going to get a $1.7 million signing bonus. And of course, Kyle, we can't forget the additional money that Jeff Brohm was given to pool together and hire assistant coaches. I'm a big boost there. You know you have to be able to pay your assistants. You want to keep quality assistants. Brohm is going to be able to do that with, a contract with a pool for assistant coaches that now is at $4.35 million. And Kyle, Purdue has 5 assistants making $400,000 or more now.
All right, so you mentioned those two guys that lead that list in Harbaugh and Franklin. A couple things about those two schools, Tom. The goal for both Michigan and Penn State on a yearly basis is to make it to the Big Ten championship game, get themselves into the national semifinals. Is Purdue, now with this salary being paid to Jeff Brohm that makes him number 3 on that list, saying that it wants to be in that category also?
Oh, without a doubt. I think that this message is loud and clear of Purdue's intentions. You know, Music City Bowl trips are nice. Foster Farm Bowl trips are nice. But with the investment the university sunk into the facilities, the personnel, to Jeff Brohm, again, I think the message is clear. They believe this program can be special and can compete for Big Ten championships. I mean, it helps being in the Big Ten West, right? You don't have to bang your head against Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State, trying to climb over schools like that to win your division. I think we all agree the Big Ten West is very winnable. And I think that's one reason why Jeff Brohm stayed here, too. He knows he can win that division. You get to Indianapolis, Kyle, anything can happen in one game. So, yes, the future looks bright. It's going to be a lot of fun, you know, to see what Brohm can do the next 3, 4, 5 years in West Lafayette now with these resources, with the way they're recruiting. The program looks like it's obviously in some bit of a renaissance at this point.
All right, so Purdue is 13-13 in the last couple of years with Brohm. He gets this new contract. I think we both agree that the rebuild is not over at this point. It's continuing to try to get the roster in the shape that it needs to be able to compete week in and week out. Now, we know that, but does the expectation level rise here pretty quickly with Brohm having a new contract and, you know, sort of with the pressure that comes with that?
I think so. You know, as they say, too much is given, much is expected. And when you're making this kind of money and when you've been given additional resources, additional personnel on your staff, on your support staff, when you've been given glistening $65 million facilities, I think expectations rise and pressure should increase, right? And I think Jeff Brohm embraces that. He always talks about competition, competing, and wanting expectations. And again, I think that's gonna come with all that's been laid at his feet here recently. You know, the honeymoon, I think, for Jeff Brohm probably still going on a little bit. Everybody's still excited about what's happened the last 2 years. Nobody could have foreseen 13-13 in two bowls in his first 2 years, but here we are. Now, Kyle, as you know, everybody wants a little bit more. They've gotten a taste of success. Northwestern got to the Big Ten title game. They think now Purdue should be able to make it. And, again, that pressure is going to increase. It's only natural. So it's going to be interesting to see how everybody responds now. And I'll just say this, you know, Kyle, these people care about Purdue football, and they have expectations because, yeah, you know, it wasn't too long ago, that was not the case.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, make sure everybody out there reads Tom's column on Jeff Brohm's contract. You can do that at goldandblack.com. All right, Tom, appreciate it.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back in just a moment, put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that here in a minute on Gold and Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brohm squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics. Much more on the website at goldenblack.com from this week in Boilermaker Sport, including more on football and basketball recruiting. Be sure to check that out. Also, Tom Dienhardt's column on Jeff Brohm's new contract. Be sure to look for that at goldenblack.com. All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. Be sure to stay tuned for Gold and Black Radio Express, also the memories features with Tom and Alan Karpik. You can check those out in the same way that this podcast is delivered. Of course, we will be back here again at 10 o'clock next Monday. All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. A thanks to our sponsors, as always, Follett's, the 6th Street Dive, Purdue Federal Credit Union, East End Grill, First Source Bank, and Charters Team at RE/MAX Ability Plus. For Brian Newbert and Tom Dienhardt, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.